Football Friday is here. It's time for Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Nugget, Las Vegas.
I'm just embarrassing people. Let me calm down.
I just support him.
Can this day just end?
We got a problem!
It's time for Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield Road Spot in lovely Laramie, Wyoming. Wyoming hosting UNLV tomorrow. We'll have ESPN Las Vegas on campus starting at 2:30 with John Von Tobel before a 4 o'clock tip. Rebels taking on Wyoming. One clarification on some of the numbers we were talking about in the division round. Recently, from an ATS standpoint, Adam, the teams with the bye haven't done that well. Only covering around 39 to 41% of the time. Looking at some different numbers since 2003, somewhere in the range of 24, 35, and 1. Now, straight up, they've actually delivered at over 60% clip. So they win the games, but covering, which is mostly what we're talking about, the teams without a bye have actually done pretty well.
I think last year was 4-0 for home teams and 3-1 against the spread.
All right. Well, maybe that's the new trend that's starting. Maybe that's a new trend.
They do tend to win outright, for sure.
Adam Hill, Ryan McKinnell down at the Golden Nugget. Like I said, Cofield out here on the road in Wyoming. Let's get to the Big Five.
Battle-Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Five at Five. Number five.
All right, Adam, what'd you see on the way down to the Golden Nugget, or was this earlier in the day?
It was actually as I walked into the Golden Nugget.
Hello.
As I was parking in the parking garage, I got a phone call, and I answered it, and it was one of those, hello, 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 nobody's there, and then somebody got, like, very, like, snippy and, like, started, like, kind of arguing with me, and it was kind of odd. So I was like, all right, whatever. Hung it up, clearly wrong number, not a big deal. And then as I'm walking into the building, I get a text. And it's three photos of progressively more and more violence. It's a guy with his hands tied behind his back and then shot in the head and then the actual dead body.
Dude?
And then it says, tell me if you're going to pay to tell him the price and how to pay or send my men by his head and that of his family. I don't know what that means.
Okay, what the hell's happening?
No, Steve, I am looking at these photos. And they, first of all, the first one is a man in the woods
with his hands
bound behind his back. Then that same man is real. I mean, it looks real.
Yeah.
He has a hole in his head, and he is laying on the ground dead. And then the third one is a close-up version of the face. It is a dead human being.
Yeah, and I don't really know. Like, if it was a more specific threat, I'd be like, okay, like, let's kind of deal with this. But, like, I don't really understand what those words all together mean.
Right.
So I have it typed out here, Ryan. I'm going to respond and just say, new phone, who dis?
I guess if that's a route you want to go, man.
But I also, like,
here's two things. Here's two things that are happening.
Ryan sounds scared for you.
No, well, there's two things that are happening. It's either there's nothing to be worried about because Adam has his cell phone number on all of his review journal articles and anyone has access to it.
Ooh.
And you could be being trolled. Flip side, it could be a wrong number situation and you are talking to someone who kills people. Now, I don't want to roll the dice on that one, Adam.
Well,
I mean, if I'm you, I don't want to roll the dice. I don't want to find out the answer. Am I being trolled or am I talking to a hitman? Does that not look like a hitman? I mean, hands behind the back, bound.
Oh, yeah.
It's professional. It's behind the ear. I mean, everything about that reads like every single movie I've ever seen involving hitmen.
So it could also be some sort of scam, I guess, to try to fish money away. But I don't understand, like, if just responding to the text, I don't think they can't track you anymore or anything if you respond
to them,
right?
No, but you're there. You're acknowledging that you're receptive and that your phone works. And that they're
Why wouldn't you play along?
Just say, like, okay, who should I send the money to?
Yeah, how much and where can we meet up?
Sure, go ahead. Let's do that. It would be a great radio. And if Adam ends up dead next week, well, maybe I'm the co-host of Cofield and Co.
Do it tonight at 6:30. Ryan, you can follow him. You can be his wingman. You don't have his back?
I'm not doing this. Absolutely not. This is Adam's stupid game. I got
he,
nothing.
He bailed on this friendship so quickly, didn't he?
Didn't
we already go over this, guys? None of us are friends.
So should. But I don't know. Like, I really, really want to respond and, like, and kind of go at this and just have some fun. But I don't, like, first of all, there's not an end game. So, like, what is.
Oh, there's
like,
an end game. You're deaf. And also, how fitting would it be? How fitting would it be if Adam died because of a troll? Because he thought he was trolling an actual hitman, and that hitman, well, didn't think Adam was funny and killed him for it. Well,
Adam, explain it one more time to the audience, because we're going a little long on this. So, anyone who's coming in right now.
Yeah.
Cowboys! Yeah. Anyone who's coming in right now, explain the pictures you got and what the message said.
So, they call me. I answer. I kind of have, like, it's a. It sounds like it's a wrong number or something, or a butt dial of some sort. But then the guy starts like kind of weirdly arguing with me. I don't really know what he's saying. And then a couple minutes later, I get a text. It's three photos: man with his hands tied behind his back in a wooded area, followed by same man profile photo on the ground, shot in the side of the head with a pool of blood, and then a front version of the dead corpse, in a message that says, "Tell me if you are going to pay to tell him the price and how to pay, or send my men by his head and that of his family." Mm-mm. So I don't Mm-mm. really know what that all means. Mm-mm. But I really, really want to kind of troll back.
Nope.
But I don't know if it's worth it.
Definitely not worth it. The only thing this is worth is really good radio. I will acknowledge that this is super compelling, and it's great to the show. And if you respond and you get a response over the next hour, it's going to make the show better. But you might die.
Do you think new phone who dis is the way to go?
Yes.
Okay.
Fine.
Should I hit send on this?
Blood on your hands, Steve.
Ryan, hit send. I've got it typed out. Hit send.
All right. I'll do it.
Oh, God. He sent it.
No, you asked for it, buddy.
Now I'm worried.
Yeah, because the jinx did it. Who hit the button? The ultimate jinx. Remember what I did in Game 7? And what are we just talking about? You dying. Yeah. Yeah. You called down the thunder, buddy.
Just if anybody's listening, I'm wearing a White Sox hat and a black hoodie.
That was weird, just the visual of you guys working that phone together. That was like Ryan and Kelly and Daryl. All right, number four.
Number four.
Offense references.
I've gotten out of control with offense references. This was a great tweet that I saw about 2 weeks ago.
You're going to die, dude.
Well, first of all, are you guys going to see Disney on Ice this weekend? I assume yes.
Maybe.
Thomas and Mac. We've been giving away the tickets. If you haven't purchased the tickets, you didn't get any of the freebies that we gave away, buy them, right? Buy them. Thomas and Mac. 3, 4, 5, 6. No. Six shows coming up over the weekend. Actually, it starts tonight, 7 o'clock, and six different options. Disney on Ice apparently stopped in Philly. And one of the NBC Sports Philly media people said, "Disney on Ice is here at Wells Fargo Center, and I swear to God, there's a group of dads drinking beers outside an SUV." They were tailgating.
Perfect. Why wouldn't
they? That is dynamite.
It's so Philly.
What's the problem?
If you're going to sit with your kids through a Disney on Ice production, I don't even drink, and I would need to be very drunk for that. So.
Yeah, you'd be high.
Well.
But also, well.
And then say, you know, don't leave the car there, and then ride share home.
For sure.
I feel like they're not saying that the dads are there. So is it – I think it's very possible that the dads were like, okay, we'll go. The moms can take the kids inside. We're going to stand outside and wait. I don't know that they're like pre-gaming the Disney on Ice. I think they're just not going in.
So for the wife, you have to take the kids inside.
Yeah.
You have to deal with the kids. Then you come out and your husband is drunk.
Yeah, what's the
– And you have to drive all of them home.
Oh, God.
That's a great wife.
Right. Well, so why wouldn't the men just stay home?
Oh, God.
Guys, we have an update.
Yeah, what's the text on the dead body, I need money update?
God, you know what? This is not good.
What's the update on the update?
Very simple text. Back to Adam. Now we go for you. Guys, wow. I'm you, Steve, you're joking about this. Ari, I just want to say something real quick. I grew up at the birth of the internet. 1995, 96, we get AOL. I have been bombarded with gore and violence and horrible images. I rented Faces of Death, for anyone who knows what Faces of Death is. I rented Faces of Death growing up in the 90s from our local backwoods video store. I've seen a lot of dead bodies. This is about as real as it gets. Steve, if you were looking at these three photos that I am looking at, I'm being dead serious right now. You would not be laughing. And Adam look scared, and he should be scared. I'm not kidding.
Adam knows I'm a different sort of cat. I would actually just turn to the right, take a picture of Angel and say, I'm at the Golden Nugget.
Don't. Should I?
Yes.
Angel?
No, don't do that to Angel.
Jeez. We are, I am, this is the first time I've been doing radio
Angel's
a long time.
Pretty intimidating guy. He looks more intimidating than us.
I am legitimately.
He's kind of a badass. I don't know.
I am legitimately concerned with the way this segment is going.
Should I send like some sort of meme back? Like a.
Yeah, something
like
funny.
Like a princess, like, sounds good, thumbs up. Something Chrissy would send.
Okay.
So, yeah. All right, top three stories.
Number three,
Adam's dead.
David Spade.
Oh.
And his sports knowledge, I don't know where it is normally, but this is brilliant. Guys, what did David Spade, I think this is an Adam story. David Spade said, what about Mike McCarthy and Jerry Jones?
David Spade must have been watching the press conference with McCarthy and Jones and their interactions.
Yep.
And he posted a picture of them on stage at the Cowboys press conference and also himself with Chris Farley.
Yep.
With just no commentary.
Nailed it.
Like, this is clearly us.
I don't like when we make fun of appearances, but Mike McCarthy really is. I think Mike McCarthy is another guy like Adam Gase who had the hat on all the time. I don't think I realize like how big Mike McCarthy's head is. And there's also something a little bit weird with his eyes that are a little bit off.
Yeah.
And, yeah, this is from which movie? Because they were all so unique.
I see what
I was
you
kidding.
Did. I see what you did there, Steve.
Good one.
Leave Chris Farley out of this.
Tommy Boy or Black Sheep?
They're very different stories, Steve.
They are different stories. Does Mike McCarthy have an older brother who's a big success and, yeah. Running for governor.
Black Sheep was more of a like a political movie.
It was. There were a lot of political statements in that.
For sure.
Tommy Boy. I could see people on different sides of the aisle getting very mad at David Spade.
Tommy Boy is a family drama.
Kill Whitey.
Top two stories.
Number two.
All right, back to what happened last night with the Vegas Golden Knights. Golden Knights, again, off to a terrible start in the first period. They wound up losing. Adam, we mentioned it before the game. I mean, the Kings are not a great team, and there's a lean on VGK at the books. The Golden Knights, a regular season minus 262 favorite? That's a big favorite. Big favorite.
Yeah.
So, Gerard Gallant, and there's a lot that I have to say on this. We'll see if we have time. That press conference yesterday, what I saw that the Knights put out was about 2.5 minutes. How, I guess you're just used to it. Is that kind of the norm, or was Gerard a little extra grumpy because of the severity of the loss?
I think it's not the severity of the loss. I think it's in, you know, today went a little bit differently with Gallant.
Okay.
And I think it's more what I'm getting from him is that it's just so inexplicable. And he's at a point of like, I don't know what to do. I can't figure this out.
Right.
Because he as he said, you know, if it's certain things that are happening, you go to the drawing board, you go to the film room, you try to figure it out, and there's answers. And he just kind of, it was pretty clear today that what he's saying is like, I can't figure out why they're going out on the ice and not ready to play. And I can't figure it out, and we've discussed it, we've tried to talk about it. I think one of the things they're worried about is making too much of it.
Right.
Because they don't, like, you don't want to go out and be over-aggressive and get out of your game and not do what you want to do and change things up. But at some point, there's got to be some concern. And the other one is, and he said it a couple times this week, and believe me, I know it absolutely sounds like an excuse and people don't want to hear it, but it's way too long of a homestand. A guy told me, and I mentioned this earlier, one of the guys in the locker room today told me it feels like the offseason because you've just been home for too long. You're around all of your family. It just feels like the offseason right now. Because you haven't been on the road in so long.
Right. All right. Well, watching the press conference, it looked like some of the remnants of the walkout from Saturday when he got mad, had a couple of questions, and walked out. It looked like some of them were still around, especially from the media standpoint, because everyone I heard ask a question was like, like really trying to dance around, like ask the question the right way. So Amber Dixon from Channel 3 steps up, and she relays a message, which you know Gallant loves hearing about something that was said in the locker room.
Yeah.
He doesn't always react to it well. Here's Amber Dixon trying to ask about what she heard in the locker room.
Amber to the left.
Amber Dixon, NBC Las Vegas. The guys in the dressing room, some of them were talking about personal accountability and kept saying, We're professionals. We're professionals. We got to be professionals. Yes. What are they getting at?
What did they say?
What do you interpret that as?
What did you interpret that as?
Personal accountability?
Yeah. Show up, ready to play.
Okay. What do you think she was getting at? Or was that just a question and Gerard just put her on the defense? I think there's something there. Am I reading too much into it?
No, I don't think you're reading enough into it.
Like personal accountability. Like, it feels to me like she heard something from a couple of the players saying that, hey, something's going on away from the ice with a player or two. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think you're wrong.
Okay. So what is it?
There was only two guys really spoke yesterday, and then actually there was a third at the end. There was no, like, individual interviews that went on yesterday at all. It was one of those games where nobody really wanted to come out. So nobody heard anything that nobody else heard. I'll say that first.
There's no chance Amber had a side conversation or has, you know, better ins than other people?
Not after the game, no. I was in there the whole time.
All right, next up. No. React here in a second. This was the end of the exchange between Amber and Gerard Gallant.
As opposed to a team effort, then it's more of an individual.
Well, we didn't play like individuals. That's not in our dressing room. We got good guys. We got character guys in there. But I would look at it tonight and first periods in the last three nights, its team didn't show up. It wasn't a goaltender. It wasn't a couple of defensemen. It wasn't a couple of forwards. It was team. And that's what bothers me. You know, sometimes some guys have tough nights, but it was a team.
All right. So there is no more to that line of questioning. Just wanted to make sure the audience knew.
Well, I also don't really know what the question was, one thing. I think what some of the guys were saying is, like, because a lot of questions in the locker room, first of all, a lot of the questions were, how about how great you played in the second and third periods, which is insane. But
why did you think people were asking that?
Because they were really dominant in the second period, but that's because the Kings were in a shell, just kind of letting them go. They outshot them like 33-5. It was a ridiculous onslaught of you know, dominant play, but there's a reason for it, because the Kings were in a shell and they didn't care.
I was going to say, Gerard didn't really take to that well. The question I heard was about taking positives out of the game. He's like,
none.
Yeah.
But I think what Amber is getting at, because a lot of the guys, when they were asked about, hey, the slow starts, what are you guys doing? Like, what is coach doing to try to change it up? What are you guys doing to try to change it up? And all the guys were like, there's nothing. We just have to be better. We have to come out and play better. We have to take accountability for ourselves and go do it. And so she was just kind of saying, like, is that what it is? Is it the guys having to do it themselves and come out there and play? But I also think there are certain people in the media that aren't trusted.
Oh. Okay.
And I don't know who those people are.
In regards to...
I don't know who those people are, but there's certain people, like, around there.
You're saying
I think,
if they relay a message from the locker room, they're not trusted, or...
No.
He doesn't trust them. I don't know what's going
that
on.
Like you're saying there's deeper issues?
Right.
I think when certain people are asking questions, there's, like, skepticism of something, of trying to get something deeper.
Okay. All right. Top story.
Number one.
All right, well, the other thing that came out of the press conference was Gerard Gallant, as he's, you know, trying to explain things and he doesn't know why this is happening. From a motivational standpoint, he basically said, I don't want to butcher this, but he said, it ain't my job.
Yeah, he sure
okay,
did.
Okay, did that. How do you take that? How do you take that, McKinnell?
Well, I just want to say, speaking of it being our jobs, I feel like it's our job to report these text messages of dead bodies to the authorities. Like, seriously, should we
move on?
How are we going to move on from this?
It's fine.
It's in the past.
He asked about Glenn.
Adam's impending death isn't in the past. He's still alive right now.
Someone's wrong.
Can you do me one favor? Can you reverse image search on Google those images? Can you save those two? Yes, you can. Would you do it during break?
I'm too busy trying to send a meme of Nanny Nanny Boo Boo.
You're so going to die. Steve, sorry, what was the question?
Yes,
it was about Gallant saying, it's not my job. Yeah, he's a player's coach. So by that definition, no, it's not his job. It's not the way that he has conducted himself throughout the entirety of his career, at least that I'm aware of. He's always been a guy who lets his veterans speak to the locker room. And we kind of talked about it a little bit to start the show, Steve, but it seemed like a message to the locker room, to Derek England, to Mark Stone, maybe to Marc-Andre Fleury. Hey, it's up to you guys to be the rah-rah guys. It's up to you guys to right the ship. That is not my job. Begging the question, though, Steve, I guess would be, well, what is your job then?
Okay, well, the other question is, they're not doing it, apparently.
Right.
So the people you lean on to get the job done, they're not doing it. So is it your job now?
That's a fair question. You would think so.
Here's the deal. This guy has a lot of equity, and there are a lot of coaches out there that have a lot of equity. So when they say it ain't my job to get guys motivated and have them ready for the first period, we accept it. But you do know there are coaches out there, if they said motivation ain't my job, getting them ready for the first period ain't my job, people would flip out.
Sure.
There was people flipping out last night.
Okay.
About that, saying, well, what is your job then? Whose job is it?
Wow. Look at this.
Yeah.
Vegas as a hockey market. You know what? On the way back, we're going to address what was going on in the arena, because I swear I heard boos, and then I saw discussions today. Is it okay to boo your team?
It's the Big 5 at 5, brought to you by Battle Born Injury Lawyers. If you've been injured, call Justin Watkins at Battle Born Injury Lawyers, 570-9000.
Zuban back in net, and they score from the draw. It's a power play goal with 7 seconds left for Los Angeles. And that is a fitting ending to this contest.
Now, back to the Golden Nugget Las Vegas for Football Friday on Cofield and Company.
Adam, this is a discussion that's going to need a lot more than 5 minutes, but that's what we have right now, because we're going to try to hunt down Warren Moon to talk more NFL playoffs here. This one's interesting. It's the topic of booing, and it really hasn't been a topic in Vegas because the Golden Knights have been great and there's been a honeymoon period for 2+ years, right? So, last night it got pretty loud. There was boos, correct?
Yeah, for sure.
So, I thought it was interesting today, and it was a home run, at least from my standpoint as a media guy. RTHG, Ryan the Hockey Guy, who does our pre and post covering the Knights, put up a question, basically, hey, is it okay to boo your own team at games? He's got over 1,000 votes. That's a massive success. Good job.
Yeah.
Good job. And, of course, there were comments. I guess he's been brawling with some people. So then he followed it up by saying this is the best. He goes, Twitter is the best and worst thing that's ever happened to the world, I think. It's love-hate for me. I truly look forward to the day I get to delete this account when I no longer need it for work. What? So I guess all the fighting has worn on him.
Yeah, it seems like it.
You and I don't look at Twitter the same way.
No, we do not.
No. We don't mind brawling. But you know what? That's, to me, it's an extension of what we do on the air. That's what we do. If you listened an hour and a half ago, you would think that I hate Ryan McKittle.
Yeah.
Going at it with him. But he, you know what? I will tell you, the comments, aside from the ones that he was fighting with, and I don't know, some guy on Twitter, Sharky Green or something, who I've seen out there, so probably a chop buster consistently. The comments were all over the place about booing your own team, and you might be surprised by my attitude on this. I don't care if you want to boo your team. I never did, and I don't. I also haven't really been a fan at games forever, but I told the story before, like, years and years and years ago, you know, random guy, Terry Mulholland was a pitcher for the Yankees, and he was terrible, right? He just, like, some guys just don't adjust, and he couldn't deal with the pressure. And as I was sitting there in the bleachers in Yankee Stadium, I'm like, this is stupid. It's counterproductive. But you know what? You have the right to do it.
Yeah.
There's no perfect formula. You pay for the ticket, you can boo.
Well, I saw one of the things I saw from somebody was, you don't need to boo. They already know they're doing poorly, so why do it? And my response to that is, well, then why cheer? They know they're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the point of doing anything then at that point?
And fans policing other fans is really annoying.
Yeah. Now,
although you tell fans how to behave all the time, so you're annoying.
Of course. I'm not a booer. It's just not something that, like, it doesn't, like, fire me up, I guess. I'm not necessarily really a cheerer either. So I don't, you know, I'm not like into that. I'm more like very analytical about what I'm watching usually. So it's kind of different. But I have no problem with it if you want to do it. And you know, like they know that they're playing terribly. And I don't think they're surprised by the fact that they're hearing the boos. It's a little soon to be booing, I think. I mean, they're pretty much a first-place team. But
I actually think it's a badge of honor for the city.
That they're booing?
Yeah, the standards are so high and unrealistic that people react. Good.
No.
That the honeymoon period wasn't going to last for like 5 years come, you know, even in bad times. And you're right. I mean, the times aren't that bad.
It's good
now.
Times. Right. It's good. What are they going to be like? Well, that's the thing. When they're not good, they're not going to be there. So, I mean, that's
what you think. Yeah.
That's what it is. I mean, there was, believe me, the attendance is still amazing, but there was a ton of empty seats at the beginning of the game last night. And I'm sure you saw people on Twitter saying yesterday, I can't even give tickets away to this game. You saw people saying that. And that's a team that is essentially, now I know that they've played more games, so really by point percentage they're not in first place, they're probably in fourth place, but you know, it's a team that is right there at the top of the division, and it's already like, I don't know, it's a Thursday night, I got other stuff to do.
I've got one game that I love this weekend in the NFL playoffs. We'll run it by Warren Moon, who's up next on Cofield and Company.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas. Now, back to the Golden Nugget Las Vegas for Football Friday on Cofield and Company.
All right, let's break down the NFL playoffs this weekend. We'll go a little harder on the Minnesota side, Seattle side. We got a guy who's got certainly a bunch of experience in dealing with those teams and those fan bases. Warren Moon is on the horn with Cofield and Company here in Vegas. How are you, sir?
I am doing great, guys. How are you this evening?
We're good. You know what? I actually want to loop you in real quick here on a conversation we were just having. You know, we've got a relatively new NHL team, and they've been surprisingly great their entire existence. Last night they lost badly, and for the first time they got some really loud boos from the crowd. I'll ask you, did you even notice boos if they happen? You know what, actually, were you ever booed?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I was booed a lot in college and
yeah.
and booed when I first went to Houston because, you know, we weren't winning when I first got there. We were trying to build a football team, and the fans will boo you. And you got to remember, in Las Vegas, they are spoiled because this team comes in their first year and goes all the way to the Stanley Cup Finals. That's what the expectation level is now. If they're not getting that, people are going to be dissatisfied. And it's not really fair because every team is different every year, but that's what they expect in Las Vegas right now.
Did the boos ever bother you?
They do. You know, it bothers you to a certain extent. There's sometimes you deserve it because if you're not playing up to your potential, the fans are going to let you know. But there's other times when they might not understand the reason why something happened, whether it was a play call that they didn't like and it didn't work. Well, if it was a play call that did work, you probably wouldn't have got booed for it. So there's little things like that. But if you're overall not playing well, yeah, you deserve to be booed, especially if you're not giving effort and they think you're not giving effort.
Well, let's start breaking down these games. First of all, Vikings. You are a former Viking. Vikings taking on the Niners. We'll ask the obvious question. Are all the demons exercised for Kirk Cousins with that big win last week?
Not all of them, but that definitely got the monkey off his back a little bit because that was a huge game. That was a huge stage, and that's a great game for him to have that happen to him against New Orleans on the road. Not many people expected them to win, and he came up with two of the biggest throws in the ball game to win it. So from a confidence standpoint going into this week on the road, it definitely helps his confidence, and it helps the team's overall confidence in him that they have a quarterback they feel like can win big games for him.
Warren, one of the things we've talked about here on the show, and it's kind of a theory looking back at some of the numbers over the years, is that Kirk Cousins isn't necessarily bad in big games or primetime games. It's just that he is such a creature of habit that he needs those like 1 p.m. starts like he had last week to play well. Like, is that a theory that could hold any water with you as somebody that's played quarterback for so long?
No, the time of day shouldn't matter. I mean, I used to love to play at night only because you felt like you were more wide awake as the day went along, and you just felt like you were playing
Usually at night when you play, you're one of the only games on, but maybe it's a Monday night game or a Sunday night game or something like that. But other than that, I didn't care if we played in the day or the night, but the night was my preference because of those reasons. But when you get out in that football field, you don't really know what time of day it is unless you're outdoors. I played a lot of my games indoors, so you really couldn't tell the difference. But, now, if he likes to play when the sun is out or something like that or not in bad weather, I could see that. But whether it's day or night, it really shouldn't matter.
Now they get that momentum. They get the win in New Orleans. Now they got to go play San Francisco. What have your impressions been of Jimmy Garoppolo so far?
They've been good. You know, last year, you know, he kind of was up and down because that was the first year coming off of the knee injury. But this year, he's been much more steady, and it seems like he's gotten better as the season's come along. He's won some big games for them as well down the stretch with his arm. So his confidence level is pretty high right now that he can win big games, and that was a big game that they won in Seattle the last game of the year to solidify the number one overall seed, and he had a lot to do with that. So I like the way Jimmy's playing. He's a great complement to their offense, but I don't think he's a guy that's going to carry their offense with his arm, but there's enough in their running game, and he has enough weapons around him that he can be very effective.
It's the voice of Warren Moon here on ESPN Las Vegas. Who's going to win that game, Niners or the Vikings?
Man, that's a scary game because, you know, the Vikings are coming off of a great road win. They do have to travel across country again and play on the road, which is tough. And then San Francisco's been sitting around. You just never know how a team is going to come off of a bye week. Sometimes you can come out flat coming off of a bye. Sometimes you can come out really energized and blow a team out. And this is a team that's not used to this position because San Francisco hasn't won in a long time. So it'll be interesting to see how they come out of the locker room. They have a lot of guys back healthy that have been injured. How do those guys fit back into the lineup having not been there for a while? I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota won this football game, but you expect San Francisco to win this game at home coming off a bye week.
Second game on Saturday is Tennessee and Baltimore. The Titans have the goods to, I think the most important part is just keeping the Baltimore offense off the field, making sure Lamar Jackson is off the field.
Yeah, that's what this game is going to come down to the trenches because both of these teams want to run the football. They want to control the line of scrimmage with the running game. They want to control the time of possession. These are the number one and two rushing teams in the league. So that's what it's going to come down to. Who can control that line of scrimmage with their defensive and offensive lines? Because if you give Baltimore too many opportunities with the football, they're going to score points. So if you're Tennessee, you want to control the football, keep Lamar Jackson over there on the sideline as long as you can.
We saw Tennessee be able to run the ball very effectively. Tannehill didn't put up a whole lot of numbers, but he made a couple of plays when he really had to. Is he good enough with the way this team is constructed to take them on a long run?
Well, that's what he's done since he's been there. He's been very, very effective with the play-action pass because their running game has been so effective. And when they do play-action, now you've got receivers running down the field wide open, and he's been able to hit those guys. And he's also surprised people with his athleticism, being able to scramble and make some plays with his legs. So if he continues to keep doing that, they have as good a chance to win this football game as anybody going into Baltimore.
Texans taking on KC. We were talking to one of the guys who does sports radio in Houston yesterday. He's actually a guy, Clint Sterner, who played quarterback in the SEC at Arkansas, and he was really beside himself in terms of the way Bill O'Brien has used Deshaun Watson, and especially last week. He wants, or he thinks the path to success with the Texans is to make sure that you're using Deshaun Watson and his legs a lot more. You agree?
Well, I think they need to get him out on the edges a little bit more with play action, maybe with more bootlegs and things like that, because he is a really effective pro on the run. And if he has a run-pass option, he can take those yards as long as he's careful with his body and gets down on the ground or gets out of bounds. But, yeah, I'd like to see him be on the move just a little bit more. But also when he's in the pocket, I'd like to see him get rid of the football a little bit faster. He sometimes holds it a little bit too long, takes too many sacks, takes too many hits on his body. But he's a dynamic player. He plays his best football at the end of the football games when it's the most important, and that's what you want your quarterback to be, a big-time player at the end of football games.
Warren Moon with us. You know quarterbacks as well as anyone. I want you to talk about Pat Mahomes and just where he is now in terms of his career, why he's special if you think he's special.
Well, he's definitely special. I've watched him since he was at Texas Tech, and And his arm talent is kind of unmatched. You know, everybody talked about Aaron Rodgers having the great gun, and he did for a while. But since this kid has come into the league, the way he's able to throw the ball from off platform, any type of body structure that he's in, he can seem to get the football off with accuracy and with velocity. So that talent is going to allow him to make a lot more plays than other quarterbacks can. And then when he's in the pocket, especially with the weapons he has around him, he takes advantage of those. So he can do a lot of things that a lot of other quarterbacks can't do. And I love his work ethic. I love how hard he's worked to get to where he is right now. He's the reigning MVP, and he's having another really good year.
Well, let's talk about another one of your old stomping grounds, and that was Seattle. Seattle's taking on Green Bay. Obviously, Green Bay with the higher seed got the bye. Can Seattle win again with – I'm not going to say they don't have any running game, but it's certainly not where it was now with Lynch and, you know, the young guy Travis Homer.
Oh, yeah, it's a long way off. But, you know, with those three injuries to their running back, they lost almost 2,000 yards of rushing, and they bring in a guy who hasn't played since last year. Travis Homer's a young guy who hasn't had that many carries this year. So their running game has really struggled because they were fourth in the league running the football with over 130 yards a game. They can't get back to that probably, but they've got to be somewhere in the middle of that. They've got to give Russell a little bit more of an addition to their offense because he can't carry it all by himself like he did last week, where he was the leading rusher. He threw the ball for over 300 yards. It's going to take a little bit more effort by other people in their running game this week against Green Bay if they're going to win back there, because they haven't had a lot of success in Green Bay over the years, and Russell definitely hasn't. But they've done very well against Green Bay in Seattle, so they're going to have to do something early in this ball game to try and keep it close. Because if they can keep it close in the fourth quarter, that's where Russell Wilson is his best, being able to make plays down the stretch and win football games.
How does the Seattle defense slow down Aaron Rodgers?
They got to get pressure on him somehow. You know, they had 7 sacks last week, and that's not something that's been their strong point all year long. They've had certain games where they've had 5 sacks, 6 sacks, but then they've also had other games where they didn't have any sacks or 1 sack. So they've got to get pressure on him, make him feel uncomfortable, and they've got to do a better job against the run with Aaron Jones, because they're going to try and run the football, especially if the weather is cold and the field might be a little bit slippery. That's when you want to run the football, because you know where it's going and the defense is on their heels and they're slipping and sliding around. If you have a good running game, that's really to your advantage on a sloppy field.
You mentioned the Seahawks' struggles at Lambeau. The numbers, Wilson's 0-3. He's got a passer rating of 60.42.
Yeah.
6 interceptions against just 3 touchdowns. I mean, it's simple enough to chalk it up and go, hey, you know what, playing against a good team, good defense, or is there something about the environment? Did you have a place where, you know, you used to go on the road and you're like, man, I don't like playing here. I feel like I never play well here.
Yeah, you would think Russell would play better back there because he went to Wisconsin right down the road, yeah. and he should be a little bit used to that weather, but it's not so much it's all him, it's just their team in general. You know, if you haven't practiced in that weather and if you're not used to playing in the snow and that, it's a little bit different. It takes you a while to get adjusted in the ball game. You got to have the right shoes on. Sometimes guys have to change their cleats in the middle of the game because they're slipping and sliding around, and before you know it, you're down, you know, 14 points and you're playing catch up. So they've got to, like I said, keep the game close early because Green Bay is going to come out of the locker room with a lot of emotion. They're going to feed off the energy of the crowd. They're well-rested, and they're pretty healthy going into this ball game. So Seattle's got their work cut out for them, but they've played better on the road this year than they have at home. So we'll see if that can continue for them on the road.
Warren, before we let you go, we got to get your take on the hot-button issue of the beginning of the week, and that was, once again, the lack of diversity with hires at head coach around the National Football League, and frankly the lack of diversity just with interviews. It feels like we took a couple of steps back this year. What's your take?
Yeah, I think the whole Rooney Rule is not working the way it was designed to work. Of course it was supposed to get more African-American coaches more opportunities, but it also is supposed to get some of them hired as well. And this year, like you said, not a lot of interviews. I think our numbers are down to only 3 African-Americans, 4 minorities with Ron Rivera. We've been up as high as 8, and it should be somewhere around 10 or 12 based off of, you know, how many players in the league are African-American, almost 70% of the league. So they have to do something to change this Rooney Rule to where it's more advantageous for African American coaches, because there's a lot of guys out there like a Leslie Frazier or a Jim Caldwell or Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator with Kansas City. All these guys should be getting more opportunities to get jobs around the league.
Warren, we really appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot. Enjoy the games.
We will, no doubt. Warren Moon with us here on Cofield & Company. We come back, wrap it up. We have to get an update on Adam and his texting. Has it appeared like he was being threatened? Does he have to hand over money? And a little more on the whole Twitter battling over booing your Vegas Golden Knights.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
Cofield & Company presents...
Hey, hold on. Bag up.
Grab bag.
Don't touch it. Don't even look at it.
Only on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
Coming up this weekend, tomorrow, we're back on 2:30, JVT hosting ESPN Las Vegas on campus. We the campus here in Laramie as Wyoming is hosting the Running Rebels. Tip is at 4 o'clock. And then on Sunday, before the Texans, Chiefs, and Seahawks and Packers, we've got our Sunday football preview show. We pushed it back a little bit to 10 o'clock. We're going to go a little longer until 11:30. Prizes in the Superbook, Superbook USA down at Westgate, and then Football Central is open with the very entertaining, really sharp Gooch. We always talk to Gooch, too, and get his sharp plays. He's probably beating us on the year. All right, real quick update. You had some really weird pictures come your way, and someone was trying to extort you for money on your phone. Ryan McKinnell said you're going to die. Don't answer. You answered. Where are we?
Yeah, I answered with new phone, who dis? They responded with, now we go for you. And now I have a meme queued up. It's basically just a nanny, nanny, boo, boo, and like the fingers in the ear wagging thing.
Wow.
But I don't know if I'm going to send it yet. I feel like I shouldn't.
I feel like you shouldn't either, but I hope you do, because I want the story on Monday. Well, actually, middle of next week. I know you're taking a little break, so good job, Adam. Yeah. I will see you on Sunday morning.
Yes, sir.
Come over and see us at the Westgate. Great prizes. Food and drink starts as low as $3 inside the theater for Football Central. Good job, Ari. We'll see you.